I will live by the standard of reason, and if thinking in accordance with reason takes me to perdition, then I will go to hell with my reason rather than to heaven without it. Robert Greene Ingersoll.
Inconceivable! Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I hope you had a wonderful year.
Holidays as well.
Yes. It's
good holidays.
Yeah. We've been out for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. It kind of felt like a year, actually.
Well, it was last year when we were on.
See, it was a year ago.
It was.
Yeah.
And we've had some minor improvements here at the studio.
No.
Yeah, we got new mics.
Yeah, they're pretty. I mean,
They actually sound better.
Do they, though? We'll see.
I hope so. Please let us know if they do or don't.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah.
But anyways, they're really pretty. They're like these old-style 50s silver big mic-looking things. I like them. They're cool.
Yeah.
So when we put them in your new office, when you get that, it'll look nice. Anyways, that's enough of that crap.
I suppose it is.
Yeah.
We did have some twits.
Did I say twits last time? Yeah.
Okay, so we got Jim Glennon. That was weird.
What the hell?
Atheos Metis Metis. Gene O'Man.
Metis.
Richard E. Wackrow. Amanda Lambert. Dot. Which is at Reverse Mission. I don't know why he has just a period for his name, but whatever.
Rolling on.
Ensign Views Commentary. Bob from Space. Thank you, Bob. NKLS Media and Conspiracy News.
Cool.
Yeah. So
we have twits.
More twits.
I like calling them twits.
Well, whatever. I don't know if they like it, but.
No, not necessarily.
We continue to get new twits, so it doesn't matter.
Since I don't Twitter, I can call them twits.
Fine.
Anyways, show must go on.
We also have a voicemail from our friend at TDTF Pod.
Mm.
He's our regular voicemailer.
Yes.
And I'm going to play that as soon as I find,
find what you did with it. Typical.
Here it is.
Hello. Hey, I just wanted to call and say Happy New Year. That's going to be coming soon. I will be thoroughly intoxicated. Me and the missus are going to go down to travel a bit and get in the hot tub. Have a new year in the middle of winter. Drink some stuff. It'll be fun. It should be anything. Anyhow. 2017 sucked. Can we just agree on that? It sucked a lot.
Yes, it did.
It blew. It was not fun. I did not enjoy it. And if you did, I question your sanity.
I agree.
All the same, it's fun listening to you. And I am going to continue to do so. And I just wanted you to all know. Also, on a personal note, I need a book from Robert Greene Ingersoll. I started looking around to see where I can find and read his lettering, his actual, like, legit, full, complete writings of his, and I'm not really sure where to start. It would be totally cool if you could give me a recommendation as to where that might be, and I can take a look at it and read it more in depth. Anyway, take care, y'all.
And thank you, Jonathan, for that wonderful voicemail.
Can you think of any book recommends off the bat?
Yeah, I've got a couple. Well, the problem with Ingersoll is that he's not really a book writer.
No.
He's an orator.
Right, so it would be people doing it on his speeches.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
So you'd have to read his speeches and essays. But I'm going to suggest a couple for you to get to know him.
Okay.
First, read The Great Agnostic, Robert Greene Ingersoll, and American Freethought.
Ingersoll.
Yeah. By Susan Jacoby, which is a biography of Ingersoll, and that highlights his impact on keeping America secular, especially in the late 19th century.
All right. So it was called The Great Agnostic, Robert Ingersoll, and American Freethought.
Right.
That's a big-ass title.
Yeah. Links to the Amazon version of these books will be in the show notes.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Secondly, I would suggest starting with some of his secular speeches and essays in a book titled What's God Got to Do With It? Robert Ingersoll on Freethought, Honest Talk, and Separation of Church and State from Tim Page.
Huh.
And that's a selection of some of his best works on free thought and secularism.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Pulling all those out.
Yeah, it kind of takes bits and pieces of different speeches and essays and makes an amazingly good book about them.
Right, okay.
And then once you're really drawn into the works and the words of Ingersoll, mm-hmm. I suggest the complete works of Robert Greene Ingersoll. Is everything known to have been written or spoken by him.
Oh, wow.
It's 12 volumes. It's like 7,000 pages long.
Holy crap, really?
But you can get it for free on Kindle.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that even existed.
I have it on my phone.
Of course you do. Have you finished it?
No. Not even close. And there are no audio versions of this. Like, there's no Audible.
Oh, okay. So this is, you got to read it. You have to listen to it.
But you can go, there's a lot of places that have his people who have recreated his speeches.
Uh-huh.
I did a bunch a while back. I may do some more in the future.
Yeah, that's right. You used to record that. You like doing that.
I like doing it. I might get back into it. But there is one definitive source that I always go to when I'm talking to Robert Greene Ingersoll, and that's Travis.
Oh, uh-huh.
Right? Or AKA the Big Funny.
Yes.
So if you go onto Facebook, Crumbling Creeds.
I was going to say, which I don't do.
Which you don't do. But if you go to Crumbling Creeds on Facebook, that's Travis's Robert Greene Ingersoll page. Amazing stuff there if you want to get to know a little more about Robert Greene Ingersoll.
Yes, because Travis was all about him.
He's the one that really introduced me to it.
Yes, he absolutely was.
Yeah, that and Travis is hilarious.
Travis is awesome. Comedian.
He's great. We should have him on the show sometime. I really should.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have an Ingersoll show sometime.
That would
I'll
wind
talk
up
to him
being
about it.
A really long episode, too.
Yeah, whatever.
Because he's just an awesome guy to talk to.
He is. Maybe funny we'll do that. I don't know.
He's so damn funny.
Anyway, again, thanks, Jonathan. We'll put your link to your show in the show notes as well. And then we'll send people over to listen to you because you are amazing as well.
Sweet.
Okay. We got some news.
It's usually why we show.
Bangladeshi atheist faces 14 years in prison for insulting Islam. A social media activist in Bangladesh could go to jail for 14 years for defaming Islam and the Prophet Muhammad, Bangladeshi authorities said on Tuesday. Immigration police arrested on Monday the 25-year-old Asuduzzaman Noor.
You sure?
Known as Assad Noor. I like that better.
What is that, like 15 letters?
I don't know. It's huge. And he has a popular YouTube channel. He was arrested at the airport attempting to leave the country, as he probably should be.
Yeah.
Leaving the country, not arrested. I'm against his arrest. He should leave the country.
Right.
The charge against him is that he hurt religious feelings.
Wait a minute. That's an actual quote.
Uh-huh.
Nuh-uh.
This is from the Bangladeshi inspector, Muhammad. Not even going to try his name. he says that he hurt religious feelings by mocking Prophet Muhammad and made bad comments against Islam, the Prophet, and the Quran on Facebook and YouTube.
So he's actually arrested for this?
He was actually arrested for this.
Did he get 14 years or is he
He
going...
could be sentenced to 14 years in prison.
Yeah.
Right? But it would not be
basically
unheard
for
of.
Blasphemy.
Blasphemy. I mean... It's a blasphemy law.
Yeah.
One of Noor's recent YouTube videos posted on November 15th shows him describing how Bangladesh wiped out its Hindu population. The video cites Wikipedia pages that detail the massacre and persecution of Hindus in Bangladesh from the 40s to the 70s. This is the kind of stuff that he got arrested for, was for telling things that actually happened.
I was
going to
say, this
happened.
Already, this, what was the problem? It's Be, facts
but
of
it,
what...
it makes Islam look bad.
But they already did that, so they already look bad because they did bad.
But... if you don't talk about it,
it
happen.
Doesn't exist.
Right.
Okay, how can he be arrested for just basically repeating what happened in history? How do you not arrest your teachers?
Well, I think you can talk about what happened in history, but you can't blame Islam for it.
But that's what happened.
Well.
So where's the problem?
They hurt Islam's feelings. I mean, seriously.
Oh my gosh. Definitely one of those moments where you're glad that you have what rights you have in America.
Absolutely.
I mean, even with stupid in office, well, hopefully he doesn't take those away.
I'm waiting.
You know?
Yeah. Well, bloggers and social media activists have also been target of Bangladesh's strict religious norms. In 2015, four bloggers were murdered in separate attacks, and authorities said they had been killed by religious extremists.
I kind of sort of remember that.
Yeah, we talked about
that. That was horrendous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dozens of other bloggers have either fled the country or been murdered in Bangladesh over the past few years.
And I have to give props for anyone who's in any of these countries where you can have things like this happen, whether it's just being arrested or being the horrible act of, you know, being murdered, and yet they still speak out. And I'm not sure if I would be brave enough to do that.
I would find it difficult to do it openly.
But that's what I'm saying. They are doing it openly.
Exactly.
And I'm not so sure I'd be able to do that. You know, I'm all for running into a burning car and getting someone out of the car kind of thing. But to do something like that, I don't know if I could do that or not, you know?
Yeah, I know. So super mad props to these guys, these bloggers over in Bangladesh and Egypt and
everywhere that is forbidden.
Any place where blasphemy can lead to you going to prison or death.
It's just crazy. It's words, people. I mean, to take it to that extreme is just, it's insane.
Yeah, but your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could that they didn't stop to think if they should.
God, I love that. Okay.
All right.
We can continue.
Okay. Why are some people left-handed?
Okay, I'd like to know because one of my daughters is left-handed.
Well, oddly enough, it's not the brain that determines if people are right or left-handed, but the spinal cord.
Really? I did not know that.
This has been inferred from the research results compiled by a team headed by private lecturer Dr. Sebastian Ocklenberg, Judith Schmitz, and Professor D.H. Owner Gutenturken.
I believe that's Ocklenberg.
Ocklenberg, okay.
Anyways.
Oh, I got the last one right.
Yeah, that's some big German word. I have no idea.
Together with colleagues from the Netherlands and South Africa, the biophysiologist, biopsychologist.
I was going to say, I'm not sure that's physiologist.
Biopsychologists have demonstrated that gene activity in the spinal cord is asymmetrical already in the womb.
Really?
Yes. A preference for right or left-handed might be traced back to that asymmetry.
Now, I have a question. What if you're ambidextrous?
Figure that out. Maybe you didn't. So there's a few more things down in this article. All right.
Continue. Then we coming back to that, though.
Yeah. Okay. It had been assumed that differences in gene activity of the right and left hemisphere might be responsible for a person's handedness.
Uh-huh.
A preference for moving left or right hand develops in the womb from the 8th week of pregnancy, according to ultrasound scans carried out in the 80s. From the 13th week of pregnancy, unborn children tend to suck either their right or left thumb.
I thought you were going to say they just suck. That's funny.
Watch the mic.
I know, my elbow hit it. But so, that's very interesting. I did not know any of this.
Okay. So arm and hand movements are initiated via the motor cortex in the brain. Uh-huh. It sends a corresponding signal to the spinal cord, which in turn translates the command into motion. The motor cortex, however, is not connected to the spinal cord from the beginning. Even before the connection forms, precursors of handedness become apparent. This is why the researchers have assumed the cause of right respective left preference must be rooted in spinal cord rather than the brain.
That's interesting.
They trace the cause of asymmetric gene activity. Epigenetic factors appear to be at the root of it, reflecting environmental influences.
So translate that in English right now.
That it's not genetic, that it's based upon how your genes present themselves in real world, right?
Oh,
it's not the way it's written, it's the way it's implemented.
Okay. So like after they're born?
No, during the development.
That was really bad. That was definitely me.
Yeah.
Anyways,
during the development, certain environmental factors like what the mother ate or the air the mother breathed and things like that can have that's the epigenetic effects.
Uh-huh.
Right? It tells maybe an enzyme didn't get put in the right spot.
Okay.
Or maybe that one was missing that day.
Okay.
Right. And so that changes how the DNA structure is implemented.
Interesting.
Okay. So what they're saying is a left-handed person develops left-handedness due to environmental factors. Not necessary, but they don't know what environmental factors.
I was going to say, what would cause that?
Right.
So if you learn what environmental factors take place, could you basically choose?
I'm not sure. I mean, it seems like you could.
Like as the mother doing something, whatever that environmental factor is, and you would be able to control whether your child's left or right.
Maybe. I don't think it's that simple.
Yeah.
I think it would be this huge combination of of, you know, what happens around in the womb and everything else. You can't, it's not just one thing. Oh, you don't get enough apples, you're going to be left-handed.
Right. No. Well, and that's where I was going with the ambidextrousness, if that's a word, because I'm ambidextrous. I'm pretty damn good with my left almost as much as I am with my right.
It is possible that you're...
But I'm mainly right-handed.
That your asymmetry didn't pronounce itself as much as, say, a purely right-handed person like me is. I can't use my left-handed
You can't anything. Use your left for crap.
I even barely type well with it.
Yeah, and I do lots of stuff with my... I've actually been known to... I'll be doing something with my right, but because it's at a different angle that's bugging me, I'll just put it in my left hand and just start doing it with my left hand just because it's easier. Now, I did wonder, because with the twins, when they were toddlers, one of them was obviously predominantly right-handed, but the other one started out left-handed. But it wasn't until a couple years later that she started using her right as her primary hand. So I'm thinking, oh, and she's also ambidextrous, by the way, too.
Right.
So
obviously you got a set of twins, so right. It's not genetic.
Right, and they're identical, so yeah. They shared the same, you know, house for a while. So I'm thinking, that's what I was wondering, you know, how that plays. Because right. She was... I really thought for sure she was going to be a lefty as a toddler, but then she just started using her right more and more. And I almost wonder if it was like on choice, because for a while when we were homeschooling her, I actually encouraged her to use her left because her handwriting was better using her left than it was her right. But she chose to, I don't know if it's because her sister was using her right or what, but she chose to stick with her right, but she can also use her left too. So,
right.
I don't know how that plays in.
So I just thought that was an interesting article about how we become who we are. There's a lot of stuff about us that is epigenetic that we're just now beginning to understand.
Right. And even that still has to go into detail about.
Right.
Yeah. No, I think that's very cool.
My name is Jonathan Ariola of TDTF Pod. The more voices you hear, the more we observe and feel, the more we learn about the other facets of this complex and wondrous beast that is humanism and free thought. Join me on the science-loving journey through topics like justice, murder, family, diligence, taste, history, society, race, boob jobs, law, addiction, video games, fear, sacrifice, children. Wait, not sacrificing children, that's not what I meant. Bring the popcorn and watch me break down the issues too deep, too fast. Join me at TDTF Pod. I'm Jonathan Ariola. Talk to you soon.
All right. So back to more news.
Okay.
Michelle Bachmann considers running for Senate in Minnesota.
Huh.
Do you remember Michelle Bachmann?
Yeah.
She ran for president a couple times, was the congressperson for Minnesota for a couple years.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, former Minnesota congresswoman and current pastor to the United Nations, Michelle Bachmann, joined End Times prepper Pastor Jim Baker for a series of television programs that aired last week. During which she revealed that she is currently considering making a run for U.S. Senate seat that is set to be vacated by Al Franken.
Oh, so she's going to pray her way in.
Well, maybe. On last Wednesday's show, Bachmann said that she has, quote, had people contact me and urge me to run for Senate. And that she's asking if God...
No.
She's asking God if doing so is in his will for her.
What happened to free will?
No. You don't get it. Free will only applies when they want it to apply.
Which they constantly flip-flop. Free will one minute, his plan for you another minute. Make up your mind.
Well, Bachmann said she would be willing to run in order to take godly principles into the Senate, but is concerned that she will be unfairly attacked by Washington insiders because, quote, the swamp is so toxic.
Actually, what they're all counting on is because of the way Trump's got everything going on right now, and it's just insane that she has a shot of getting in because it's just a bunch of old religious white people.
Alabama.
Well, what?
So, Roy Moore thought he had a nice, easy shot.
Yeah.
In the super red state of Alabama, he couldn't beat a super blue
Democrat.
No,
I know that, but he has a bigger issue with himself.
He is a bigger issue.
Yeah, you can't compare those two.
But now we're talking about Minnesota.
She's just looking at it as everybody's in this religious mode
Minnesota is a purple state. Uh-huh. There's no way, I don't think, a person like Michelle Bachmann can win a purple state. Mm. She is too far to the right.
Yeah.
She's way
too... She would need it to be red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she says this, I trust in a big God, asserting that she was supposed to run for president in 2012 in order to make the repeal of Obamacare a central issue of the Republican platform. That makes no sense to me.
I was just going to say, what?
she says, I feel like I was wildly successful. I didn't win, but I moved the debate. So I didn't shed a tear when I left the contest because I felt like, you know, I fulfilled my calling to God.
you can't
talk. The calling that God gave me.
And it's a contest?
This was from the debate.
When is
the 2012 presidential?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a contest.
I didn't realize that was a contest.
Well, some people call it a contest.
Really?
Yeah.
Anyways.
So, and then she says, so the question is, am I being called to do this now? And she says, I don't know. Maybe she should pray some more.
And get some answers.
And get some answers, yes. Because that's the only place she's going to get any answers, because I don't think she's smart enough to come up with her own.
I like you said, if it's such a purple state, she's not going to win.
No, not if Roy Moore lost. I don't see it happening. I don't see the Senate going full red again. That's a whole different issue. Yeah. Now, there may be some Republicans that go, but they're not going to be those extreme right wings that Trump and his cronies are expecting to get in.
Yeah. I don't know. God, I swear it feels like we're going backwards.
Yeah. I mean, Michelle Bachmann's. Who's Sarah Palin going to run for something next?
Well, and not just backwards like that. I just mean, it just seems to be getting more and more religious again, or that's just me.
Yeah, it is. Trust me, it is.
But that'd be funny if Sarah Palin came into the show.
Oh, God. No. I'd have to create a whole new segment just for her.
Saturday Night Live would be so much fun. It already is.
They'd have to bring Tina Fey back.
Uh-huh.
That would be fun.
Oh, look at that. You fell for that, too. I can't believe it, man.
All righty.
And your segment is crazy religions.
Yes.
Because that's pretty much what this has been adding up to.
Well, that's all it is.
Yeah.
I just look for weird, crazy religions, and I can't believe people actually believe.
Well, I was going to say, I can't believe there's enough to keep doing it.
There's enough of everything to keep doing it.
Anyway. All right,
so universe people or cosmic people of light powers is a Czech and Slovak UFO religion found in the 1990s and centered around Ivo A. Benda. Their belief system is based upon the existence of extraterrestrial civilizations communicating with Benda and other contactees since October 1997. Telepathically, and later even by direct personal contact. They are considered to be the most distinctive UFO religion in the Czech Republic. Well, that's a distinction.
Well, right?
Wow. Give them an award. Anyway, according to Benda, extraterrestrial civilizations operate a fleet of spaceships led by Ashtar Galactic Command orbiting the Earth. They closely watch and help the good and are waiting to transport their followers into another dimension. The universe people's teachings incorporate various elements of ufology. Some foreign contactees are credited, though often also renounced after a time of misguided or deceptive. Christianity, Jesus was fine vibrations, was a fine vibrations, he's giving me good vibrations, being, and conspiracy theories full of evil are supposed to plan compulsory
forces
chipping.
Forces of evil
are supposed to plan compulsory chipping of the population.
What the hell did you just say?
Now, I'll get into it a little more. So it gets... This is just an overview.
Okay.
Benda based his philosophy on the information from many independent books, including Angels in the Starships by Giorgio DiBattista.
DiBattista.
Inside the Spaceships by George Adamski. Bringers of the Dawn by Barbara Marciniak. He adopted parts of the Swiss citizen Billy Mears' philosophy. However, Benda's philosophy is in some points in conflict with Mears, and Mears has declined any contact with Benda and does not recognize his movement.
All right. Can we translate this now?
No.
Because I don't understand what the hell you just said.
Members of the movement distrust modern technologies and control mechanisms of the society. They consider mass media to be a tool of oppression and manipulation. Despite this, Benda often seeks contact with journalists to tell his ideas to the public. They often have problems with copyright infringement because Benda has declared that the only copyright owners are the universe creatures who do not consider it important. And they also want to abolish money.
What?
Okay. Yeah, this one's weird.
Go back to the beginning and translate what the hell you just said. These people are weird.
Okay. Now, I'm going to translate what I just said.
I hope so.
With this next part.
Oh, hell.
Okay, and this is where it does get weird.
Oh, because the first part wasn't.
They seem to communicate primarily through vibrant images with text and font colors that are actually cause eye strain to look at. I'm telling you, there's like bright red and next to fluorescent yellow and then lime green and then back to red.
Like rainbows.
Oh, it
like
hurts.
Like neon rainbows. It literally
hurts to look at the text on this thing.
Okay.
And it's like, I don't even know how to describe what the images look like. They're just, I don't know, it's like Easter broke onto the page. It's weird.
Still not helping me, but continue.
Anyway, in these images, they convey messages that Saurians, who come from the Dark Worlds, are implanting humans with chips in order to control them.
Okay.
Chips.
Okay.
According to their website, over 3 billion humans are under complete control of the Saurians, and 1.8 billion are under partial control.
Alrighty then.
They state that getting chipped will lead to slavery of all humankind.
Okay, keep going.
Yeah, they need chips.
Okay.
And the chips will replace barcodes that are currently on humans.
Okay.
Yeah, because I have a barcode somewhere.
Do you know?
Apparently.
Okay.
They also state that angels have been sent to warn us of this enslavement, including Ashtar Sharon, who looks like Elrond the Elf. Ptah, I don't even know who he is. And the Lord Jesus Christ.
This is weird.
We're not done.
It's really weird.
They also believe the galaxy is populated by over 2,000 advanced civilizations and that they are immensely peaceful. That's a quotation, by the way. And the governing body of the galaxy is located in the constellation Aquarius.
It's the age of Aquarius.
Yes. And is represented by the High Council in Petal. The Petal? I don't know.
Oh, whatever.
The oldest member of which is Gorlaj.
Okay. Where the hell do you dig this shit up?
It's there.
But it's real.
It's real. This is a real religion. I told you I'm going to sneak a fake one in sometime, but they're too good. I can't.
You don't need to.
I don't need to. This is Poe's law here.
Okay.
They also believe you can contact friends from the cosmos. All you have to do is follow simple rules.
Okay.
One, living loving, harmonious, well-ordered spirituality.
Uh-huh.
Two, love other human beings, even those who harm you. Love all other creatures, the living and non-living ones.
Now, don't two and three kind of just go with one?
Oh, I was trying to figure out a non-living creature.
A car?
It's not a creature.
Well, could be in someone's opinion.
Okay, reduce eating of meat to a minimum. Best no meat at all.
Uh-huh.
Here's where it starts getting
weird.
Frustrating.
Were you going to say weird?
Eliminate or destroy any negative literature. Books or magazines about wars, eroticism, negative extraterrestrial, you know, UFO abductions, crashes of ships, etc. So they would not like Independence Day.
And many others I can think
of. Don't read negative books, magazines. Don't watch negative movies. It's recommended you ignore politics.
So go live in a cave.
Basically. Don't possess excessive property. Two or more houses for yourself, two or more cars, you know, things you don't have to have.
A cave.
Help people in need according to your possibilities. I don't even know what that means.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Help people in need according to your possibilities?
Yeah, your possibilities.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Work unselfishly for other people, at least in the manner of spreading information about friends from cosmos. So,
but wouldn't that be selfish because it's still only helping people to benefit yourself?
Right. I was about to say
okay,
that.
Okay. Just
so work just for others so long as you can proselytize your religion to them.
Right. Exactly.
Got it. And number 10, don't harm other creatures.
Back to the creatures again. Okay. Yeah.
Then you can contact the friends of the cosmos using these words.
Okay.
Dear creator, the beloved one, I'm asking for you to contact, asking you for a contact with my cosmic friends.
Okay.
I feel like I'm on Captain Planet or something.
Okay. Wow.
Oh, and at the same time, it's necessary to have the purest thoughts and love in the heart, a pen in the hand, and paper prepared. While writing, beam with love and don't insert your own thoughts and especially doubts. Best communication is in the middle of your chest.
You know, this would be really weird if I was drinking, like more than it's weird already.
Well, as if that weren't weird
or
enough.
Or high.
Yeah. They also believe that one day Ashtar has a fleet who has his fleet of ships orbiting the Earth in preparation for the evacuation.
Oh, another rapture.
Yeah, which was supposed to happen in 2007.
Of course it was.
That is when 2.5% of the population would have had the, quote, vibration parameters correct and would be whisked away to parts unknown.
Stoned for sure.
Yeah, I think so. But they say what really happened was instead of evacuation, they were given the chance to, quote, grow spiritually with assistance from the creator of everything and everyone.
What the hell are you saying? Where do they come up with this crap?
I'm not.
And the fact that people follow this crap.
I'm going to say acid.
That actually was exactly what I was thinking when I was going through the liquor, like, then, you know, weed. And then I'm like, no, I'm thinking more acid.
This feels like
major 60s acid trip or something.
What I was reading, these guys created this, if this is the one I remember, back in the 90s, I think,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it said 90s. Yeah.
So that's not really an acid-heavy time.
Depends on what music they were listening to.
Well, they're Czechoslovakian.
Okay.
Death metal, I guess.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah.
Weird. Anyway, I didn't even get into their beliefs on reincarnation, Atlantis, and Yetis.
Oh, Jesus. Yetis?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's with the Yetis?
I just glanced over and thought, holy crap, they believe in Yetis. And Atlantis.
I like the Yetis, Mr. Bumble.
Oh, jeez. I don't know. So there's your weird religion for this segment. It's really freaky.
It's amazing the crap that you can get people to join with your group to follow.
Well, what's amazing,
what all these are,
is a lot of these tend to be focused on extraterrestrials.
Yes, yes, they do.
The crazier ones have even crazier extraterrestrials, right? If you look at the really crazy ones, Scientology, right? Mm-hmm. Mormonism.
Mormonism with the...
Mormonism has all these extraterrestrial planets and Kolob as a planet, and that's where God came from. And
oh, I didn't know that.
I'm not going to do a Mormon thing. There's people who do Mormon things. Go listen to their podcast.
They know way more than you.
Yes. So I'm not going to do the mainstream religions on here, but it's kind of the same thing.
Well.
And I'm surprised anybody believes a Mormon religion, too, as much as I am this one.
Right. It's just so weird.
It is.
But like I said, it's crazy that people actually believe and follow this crap. And the same goes for these tiny little ones as much as Scientology,
right,
which is just out there, and Mormonism. I mean, and those are larger groups, and yet they have so many followers.
Right.
I just can't wrap my head around that. I mean.
Well, it makes me wonder if all religions are sort of based on an extraterrestrial being. Right? Because if you think about the works of Jesus, those would have been magic and extraterrestrial, right?
Alien came down to the planet and walked on water.
And rose from the dead and
healed
physically
the sick.
Went up to the clouds, right? That sounds pretty spacey to me. I mean, he was teleported up.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Moses could part water.
Uh-huh.
Sounds pretty, you know, he's got magic talents that can allow him to move water in ways we can't.
Yep, and there's big machines hiding under the pyramids.
that was Ben Carson. No, those were grain silos, yeah. Oh, and there you go. That's it.
That's enough weirdness for me. My head hurts.
Yeah, that's all the yakking I got for you tonight.
I'm good for this week. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're back on for 2018, so we'll see you next week.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
My input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Patreon page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
Bye bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye!